Well, good morning, and thank you for being here today. I don't take that lightly, that you're here today. Not everyone is prepared to join us or to be here on a Sunday morning for a variety of reasons, and people have their reasons, and some are valid and prudent, and it makes a lot of sense. But you're here today, and I appreciate that. And the scripture says in Hebrews 10, some people have given up the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. It's the scripture. Instead, we should keep on encouraging one another. There's an encouraging that happens when we gather together for worship. And you have come here, and it's an encouragement to me and everybody around you that you would worship God together. So thank you for being here this morning. How have we been doing the past couple weeks since we looked at Ephesians? Last week we had Frank ministering, and he spoke to us about the hope of the gospel. Don't be removed from that hope that we have in the gospel. But leading up to that, we had been in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5, and we're going to be there again this morning, and I thought maybe we'd be going in a different direction, but we're going to be there. And here's where I'm going to humbly ask for your prayers. Everybody who's in this room and people who are a part of the congregation who are watching from home, listen, we don't have some denomination to fall back on. We don't have some presbytery or something somewhere that kind of lines everything up and gives us a template for 6 months or for a year and a network of other congregations or anything. We have you and we have me relying on God and relying on the Holy Spirit by grace, walking with the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Pray for me. I don't always know weeks or months in advance what we're going to be talking about on a Sunday morning, and I trust God to lead us. It's not me. It's not a one-man show. It's a body that we have here, and it's a ministry team, and it's people coming together. And I know it's a strange time in life and in the world, indeed, right now. But I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm asking you to pray for us that we would hear what we're supposed to hear, that we would read, we'd understand, that we would have more than just hearing, that we would do and accomplish and become all we're supposed to do and accomplish and become. So I'm asking you to pray for me in that, if you would, because we all need it. Amen? Amen. So we're in Ephesians once again, where we've been since our return to in-person services. We've been seeing that we're supposed to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. Our lifestyle should match our life call, and if not, then we're out of balance and we end up falling and hurting ourselves or hurting others. By God's grace, we're going to be speaking only what is helpful, only what is encouraging and building up others. That's what the scripture says to do here, according to the need of others. Also, by God's grace, we're becoming imitators of God as beloved children. As children loved by the Father, of whom the Father is fond, God is fond of you today, and we're called to be imitators of God. We're going to put aside immorality and foolish talk. We're going to put aside these things and commit ourselves to gratitude. Gratitude resolves any of the things that our mouth could otherwise be doing or saying that wouldn't be fruitful for the people around us, edifying to them or glorifying to God. So he says, but rather giving thanks. So we choose to give thanks in the Lord. This is what we're learning in Ephesians. Walking as children of light, trying to discern, trying to find out, trying to distinguish, to test and to prove what is pleasing to the Lord. We don't live to please ourselves. We don't live to please the government. We don't live to please a denomination or all these other things. We don't live to please even a spouse. We live to please the Lord. We're supposed to be trying to find out and discern and test and prove what pleases the Lord. And the amazing thing about us committing to and trying to please the Lord is, guess what? It edifies the person next to us. And we're satisfied in that worship and that gratitude and that praise to God. So I'll ask you again, how you been doing with that? This is what we're talking about in Ephesians. Are we living out the faith we're talking about as we're becoming children of light and imitators of God? I pray that we are. And we're going to see this morning from Ephesians 5, that all things become visible. All things become visible when exposed by the light. All things become visible. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 says, we open the service with Psalm 18:28. It says, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. All things become visible in the light. We're going to see that theme here in Ephesians 5. Let's start reading in verse 10. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that manifests or reveals, everything that makes to become visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Father in heaven, grant us open ears to hear. Grant us an open heart this morning, Father. As we look at your word, would you reveal Christ in it? Would you reveal Christ in us? Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Would you light our path today as we look at your word? And would you illuminate our minds and our hearts and our lives so that all things might become visible? In Jesus' name, Lord, let it be. All things become visible when they're exposed by the light. If we want to see, we must be in the light. Maybe all of our not seeing in life is because we're not fully in the light. All things become visible when exposed by the light. That word exposed means convicted by or corrected by, to be brought into the light, exposed, to be brought into the light, so that it can be properly considered, properly examined, so that right perspective can be gained. How many of you know that darkness obscures your perspective? When you're in the dark, some things that shouldn't be scary are really scary because our perspective is skewed because we're in the dark and not in the light. And in the dark, sometimes we can't see things that would be very sobering and very awakening if only the light were shining on it. But the darkness obscures our perspective. You want to know what you should do in a particular relationship? Try exposing it to the light. You want to know what you should do in your vocation or in your workplace? Try exposing it to the light, allowing the light to shine on that, allowing the light of God to shine in your heart and mind with respect to a relationship or a marriage or a job. You want to see clearly how to navigate all the things that compete for your attention and your bandwidth and your emotional energy? You only have so much. There's only so much time, and there's only so much that we each have in terms of resources and capacities. You want to figure out what to do with it all and see clearly in the middle of all that? You better expose it to the light, because the darkness is going to obscure your vision and not allow you to see clearly to navigate all those things and relationships and situations in life. If we don't expose it to the light. So this scripture is speaking specifically to unfruitful deeds, but the spiritual principle is far-reaching and really all-encompassing. I remember a time that I was at a low point in life. I was ready to give up on ministry and maybe give up on some of the aspects of ministry that had to do with tradition or religion and less to do about relationship, and hopefully we're all ready to give up on the stuff which has to do with religion and isn't about relationship with the Lord. But I remember a time when I was ready to give up. And it's easy to recall because it was just yesterday. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't yesterday. It was the day before. No, it wasn't the day before. I remember one time in my life where I was at a low point and I was frustrated and I was ready to give up on ministry. Anybody here ever want to give up? You ever want to give up on a job or a relationship or give up on a task or something that you thought you were supposed to do, or maybe you had thought at one time but you weren't so sure anymore and you were just ready to give up because it didn't seem to be fruitful in the way that you thought it should be, or it wasn't what you figured it was going to be. God, how did life end up like this? And just at some point, sometimes, just about everybody wants to give up. I remember the founding pastor of my congregation in Virginia said, "You're not worth your salt as a Christian if you haven't wanted to give up three or four times." Do y'all know what that is? Salt, worth your salt? Is that a Southern phrase? I'm sorry, guys. Not insulting your intelligence, just that I don't say colloquial things that don't make sense. Anyhow, you're not worth your salt as a Christian or believer if you haven't been ready to give up a few times. And if you've never felt like giving up, I pray that you hope that you someday feel like giving up, because there's a perspective that can be gained in that place that maybe can't be gained anywhere else. Just don't go telling people that your pastor said he hopes you want to give up at some point. That wouldn't probably make sense unless they had some context. But anyway, I remember one time wanting to give up, but I had a friend. How many of you know it's good to have a friend when you want to give up? It's a good thing to have a friend. He was speaking with me, and I began to uncover over the course of our conversation. I began to uncover things that had transpired in ministry and in life, and things that people had done and people had said, things that I had done and things that I had said, and all the things that had been quietly buried or left in the dark are now being exposed by the light. Men are terrible at this. I don't want to be sexist. I pray to God I'm not sexist, but men are bad. Men are bad at this, and the men in my life have just, for whatever reason, haven't been real good at just shining that light. It's really easy to ask them, how was your day, honey? Great. How was that? How did everything go at work? Good. Ask my wife if you know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the guys I've been around, but it seems like men aren't very, very good at this. But the scripture says today, all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. Because of circumstance, because of things that had transpired, because of things that others had done, things that I had said and done, I wanted to give up, but because I had a friend who was willing to take the time to ask some questions and to listen, some things began to come to light. All things become visible. I could see more clearly. I could no longer wanted to give up. I was free in the sense that the light had come inside. Some things just need to see the light of day. And everything changes. Your perspective is obscured if it's in the dark, man, but once the light comes in and you expose it to the light, wow, I can see a lot more clearly. This makes so much more sense, this ministry thing. This relationship, this job makes a lot more sense when it's exposed to the light. A lot more sense when you can see clearly. Just shed a little light and things can become clear again. Life makes sense again. You know, it's a funny thing, light. And I was thinking about the full moon that we had there during that hurricane a week or two ago, and the things that were going on. You know, when the light from the sun hits the moon reflects that light, right? It reflects that light. The cool thing, you can tell there's light shining on it. You get some sense of what the sun is like, but really it's shining on the moon, and the moon's reflecting it. So what do you see? You see the moon. You see the moon. You can't really see it because, you know, you can't really see the sun, but you see the light from the sun that's reflecting on the moon. And so that's kind of how our lives are as believers. You know, when we reflect the light, what people can see, they tend to see more of me, more of us, actually. But the cool thing about light is when it passes through a prism, this visible light that's in this room right now that you can't see, it only illuminates. It has the power to illuminate, so we see the other stuff that's being illuminated. But the beauty of real, pure light is when it passes through a prism, then it's refracted by that prism, and you see all the beautiful colors. You see the full spectrum of all the colors. That's what we see in a rainbow, right? When the light passes through the water, it acts as a prism and refracts the light instead of just reflecting it. And the beauty of that is it passes through, as the light begin to pass through this darkness in me and this maybe dark story of my life. My friend, he said, it was as if he remembered who I was or remembered something in our relationship. He says, you know, every time we have these kind of conversations like this, I walk away saying, man, you know, Joel was really listening to me. He really, really cares. And when I think back on it later, I think about it and I say, Joel Beasley cares. And that's because the light was allowed to pass through me and he could see something of God in that. And that's when we began to experience actual community. Actual community, because we took the time to allow the light not just to be reflected by us, but to pass through and to be shown on everything that was inside. And don't get me wrong, the scripture says that love covers a multitude of offenses, so we need the leading of and discernment from the Holy Spirit to know what should be covered and what should be uncovered, right? Love covers a multitude of sins and offenses. Light uncovers and reveals what's truly there, and I want to give you a hint this morning. Here's a pro tip, okay? We want to let the love of God flow through us to other people and cover others. But we need to be willing to uncover our own lives, our own intentions, our own challenges, sins if needed. Allow God's love in us to cover the sins of another the same way he's covered my sins. Jesus said to the disciples, and this is crazy to my flesh and to our natural carnal mind. Jesus said, the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Theologians have been trying to figure this out ever since he said it for 2,000 years. But something in us is supposed to cover the sins of another as Christ has remitted or forgiven or covered over my sin. I'm supposed to cover over yours, and you're supposed to cover over mine. That doesn't mean bury it and don't let it see the light of day. It's up to me to allow the light to shine in so you can see what's been going on in my heart and life and mind. And then everything becomes visible. Everything becomes visible in the light. So there's a time to cover. There's a time to expose to the light. Pastor Greg, you taught me that we encourage one another in our strengths, but we identify with one another in our weaknesses. We encourage each other in the strengths and the grace that God has put on our lives, but we identify with one another and have an opportunity to actually form real relationships and to build community when we can see the weakness in our brother that we can cover over. The light can shine on, but it's covered. How's that for a beautiful spiritual irony? Paul said, by the grace given to me, I preach, I speak. In Romans 12, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us, and we're supposed to exercise it accordingly. To each one is given, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we have this empowering of God. We have this charis, this divine enablement to strengthen and encourage others, right? One exhorts, one helps, one may speak a word of wisdom. This is what the Bible says, to encourage, to strengthen, to build up another. But if we want to identify with someone, if we want to build community with someone, then we don't necessarily identify with the strength that God has given us. We identify with the weakness of humanity. The Father wanted us to be able to identify with him, so what did he do? He sent Jesus in weakness, meek and lowly as a babe in a manger, so we could identify with him. Zechariah 9 says, "Rejoice, daughter of Zion. See, your king comes to you lowly." Here's how he comes to you: lowly and riding on a donkey. So that we could identify with his humanity. A human, helpless and frail. I think of little Ariel at the hospital, 6 months old. Helpless and in need, and a mother reaching out. We identify with each other in the same way, not in our great, big, wonderful, bold Christianity and the great things that we can do. No, that's not how we identify with each other. We identify with the frailty. We identify by saying, "Hey, man, here's the mess that's happened in the last, 20, 30 years, 10 minutes, whatever it is. Here's what's transpired, and I need somebody to go through. I need somebody to shine a light here because I can't see. It's obscured by darkness, and all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. Man, I want to be able to see." And as I uncovered my past and my challenges and my frailty, as I shined the light on some of those dark places, some unfruitful deeds, this passage says, and I was free again, free to love. Maybe some of you need that today. Maybe you can't see clearly. But if you could, maybe you could see, if only you were willing to allow the light to come in. Be exposed to the light. And it doesn't always have to be some earth-shattering confession of something. Maybe you just need to get something off your chest. Maybe it just needs to be said out in the open so you don't have to worry about it or be afraid of it. Remember we said when the light comes on, you sometimes realize, wow, that was what I was afraid of? That really had me all up in arms and concerned and worried? It's because it was in the dark, man. When the light's on it, you're free. You see it for what it is. Oh, man. That scripture we read this morning, David said, "Through my God, I can do valiantly. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall." It's because he could see clearly. He said, "Blessed is the man whose sins are covered, whom the Lord has forgiven," right? So it comes into the light and we're forgiven. Now it's covered over. By God's grace, we need to find a way to identify with one another. And it really comes in this form of bringing the light in and saying, "Hey, here's the weakness I have, and can we identify in this way?" Community is built, and God's glorified, somebody's edified. Man, what an opportunity when someone says, I'm going to come into the light. What an opportunity we have to love them, to encourage them, to tell them the truth about who they are, who God says they are. Oh, don't you know, he's fond of you. It's okay. He's going to, look at that thing. It's not as scary anymore. Let's get it out of here. Let's give you confidence to walk as a child who's loved, as a child who's in the light, as a child who's free. What do we say? How does a child walk who's loved? Man, that child is confident. That child's like the first sign of anything. It's daddy, daddy. Dad's got this. I'm just going to be with him right now. I don't have to worry about a thing. Would you be willing to do that today, this week? Would you be willing to reach out to a friend, to a brother, to a sister? To identify with them in their humanity, just to have a conversation. I know some of the younger guys in the guys group have wanted to see how they can maybe implement this, and I don't think it's any coincidence that they're talking about this while we're going through Ephesians here, and this verse comes out today. No coincidence. Would you be willing to have a conversation just to see if there's an area in life, be it in your past, present, or concerns about the future, that God wants the light to shine on? We're going to receive communion this morning. It's been a long time, hasn't it? I wish some more people were here to share it with us, but we're going to partake, and it may look a little different, and that's okay. We'll still commune with the Lord nonetheless. Amen? So I'm going to invite us to do our best in an orderly way in just a minute to socially distance and to prefer one another in love and come up here in just a minute to pick up the elements, then we'll return to our seats and receive them together. But as we do that, could we begin right now just to allow the light of Christ to shine in our lives, to shine in our minds, to shine on our past, to shine on our present, to illuminate the path before us into our future. Would you begin to ask God just to illuminate your mind right now and your heart and your life, and to open you up to have a willingness to identify with a brother or sister, a willingness to cover them over. Maybe you need to be the one who listens. We're supposed to do both of these. We're supposed to walk in the light and we're supposed to cover others. It might be regarding your past or your childhood, or it might be forgiveness. You need to forgive someone. Shine the light on it. Whatever it is, please consider this, and I'm going to invite you now just to come up and to just take the communion elements before returning to your seats, and then we'll partake together.